I don't see him leaving the Golden State Warriors now due to the fact that I think they're going to sleepwalk through another championship. I think it's going to be hard for him to walk away. Now, I do think that the league has already got the frozen envelope for Zion to the Knicks. I think Silver already got the frozen envelope ready. Like just like he did with the just like what Stern did with the with the Knicks back in '84. So I think Silver's gonna give the Knicks their due this offseason with the frozen envelope, and they're gonna get Zion. I don't think they're gonna get KD or Kyrie. I think that they opened up this cap space for no reason, but I think that the consolation prize could be Zion and maybe even Kimba. Bring Kimba home.
So you don't think Kyrie's coming to New York?
No, I don't think Kyrie's going. I don't think Kyrie's going there. I think Kyrie's
you don't
leaving
think, the Celtics. You don't think KD's going to New York?
No, I don't think he's going to New York either. I think.
But you also thought AD was coming to the Lakers before the trade deadline, didn't? Is this true?
Well, if it wasn't for the grinning cat,
why is it Magic's fault? Let's hear this.
Well, he played his hand. He first off, Magic ruined the offseason by trying to get a shooting when we had Brook Lopez on the roster last year, who was specifically going to the Bucks and shot like a damn savant. And from the 7-foot position and being a center. And then he goes out and trades. So Magic ruined his whole offseason. And because LeBron already wanted to be here because of the movies, his kids. So Magic, they just had a figurehead. There's basketball people that make basketball decisions. And I said that from the beginning. Magic was not the right guy. He went to the Pelicans with his offer, played his whole hand to him, and then tried to go back to his roster and say, hey, you're professionals, be big boys. But it's like, Magic, you sabotage this whole fucking team already. Like, you can't go back to the team and say, hey, my bad. Like, the Pelicans played you, and you basically are left with a roster who don't believe that you believe in them, which they don't. So most of this is Magic's fault. Magic knew what it was, and because of how the roster was constructed, he ruined most of this year. And like I said, he's just not a basketball guy. Everybody thinks good players are just supposed to step into basketball personnel. That's why I don't understand why Kenny Smith or says he wants a GM job or some of these guys that walk right into the GM job. That shit is hard. And I feel like you have to grind every day. Magic isn't even around the damn team. So I don't know. I think Magic ruined that Pelicans trade.
I disagree with all that, but I think I would say Elton Brand is doing a hell of a job, and he's a player. Elton Brand is doing a hell of a job.
And he's a grinder, though. He's a grinder. Elton Brand is a general manager. Yeah, he's not the team president.
That's true.
But
I was just going at your point where you said basketball guys can make basketball decisions. He's a basketball guy. Obviously, he plays. He's a player. And he's doing a hell of a job with the Sixers. The Sixers look awesome.
And let's be honest, there was the Sixers kind of ran themselves for about 3 months because they had no GM. So I mean, it seemed like more. I don't know if Colangelo's still there,
they were being talked about as a team that were just the Walking Dead. As far as they're not in the same class as the Bucks, they weren't in the Celtics, or Toronto. But now I legitimately think they're in that category now. Like the East is, in my opinion, is going to be more fun to watch than the West. Like the Eastern Conference semis is going to be more fun than the West to me.
Only the final four teams. I just want to see when everybody makes it to the second round, because everybody else should be. I mean, Brooklyn would be feisty if they make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They'll win a game or two, but I don't expect nothing much for them. But back to your point, though, I think the landscape is too screwed up in New York for KD to go there. At least there was something here for LeBron to come to. I mean, he came here for the movies. He came here not to win a championship. He came here to be a global icon, which was fun. I was willing to sign this devil with the deal. I'm in it for 4 years, all right? I'm in it, all right? I'm in LeBron quitting with the gold armor on. I mean, I'm into it, all right? hurt me, Bron. Hurt me.
I was gonna say, you want to tell everybody what you posted in the group chat like less than 20 minutes ago?
Oh, yeah. LeBron can go straight to hell for that dog shit performance. He quit on the team tonight.
I must say, yeah. Let everybody know what happened tonight, though, what game we're talking about.
We're talking about the Hawks-Lakers, all right? So we're recording this is Tuesday. The Hawks just beat the L.A. Lakers 117-113. LeBron had a triple-double tonight. But don't let that shit fool you. Because he's a walking triple-double at this point.
How many people are just going to not watch the game and just look at the box score and be like, oh, LeBron played well. What happened? Nah, man. This is why I tell people you have to watch the game, man.
I watched the whole game. And I saw LeBron quit. I saw LeBron have Trae Young on the pinch post in the corner.
Man.
And I'm like, Bron, put him in the bucket.
Yo.
And what does he do? He kicks it to B.I. in the corner.
Yes.
And at the end of the game, LeBron gets a rebound. He has Trae Young on him again. What does he do? He shoots a step back 3-pointer.
Yes.
He's quit. I
wouldn't go that far, but let me tell you what me and Jesse, I was telling Jesse before we started this call. Everybody knows I am a LeBron supporter, have been since he came in the league. I'm not a, you know, I've been called an apologist. I think I am a LeBron realist, but, you know, you decide whatever. Because what I'm going to say is probably not going to be taken well. I think, hopefully he's not all the way healthy. I hope he came back early because I think, what was the, I'm trying to remember what game he came back. What was the first game LeBron came back?
The Clippers game.
Okay, so the Clipper game, the OT game against the Clippers when he was talking to Cassidy Hubbard, he told Cassidy that he was at 85%. Now, when he said this, I thought it was bullshit. And I hope to God that he is lying and he just said that for effect to calm Laker Nation down. Because what I saw, and that was, what, 4 games ago now?
Yeah.
What I saw today, that was not my GOAT. He was unrecognizable. He was real statue-like. I never seen him get deflected slash blocked slash ball taken away from him so many times since, I don't know, the Spurs series that they got smoked. I've never seen him get deflected, blocked, turnover that many times. I've never seen it. It was insane to me.
Let me know when y'all done.
I'm not done.
Let me know when y'all done with these guys.
he was unrecognizable to me. I hope he's not 100%. I hope he's not even close. I was hoping that, obviously this is a game, the Lakers don't have another game until after All-Star. I was hoping he has plans to go with his family that he was already thinking of plans to do before he has to fly to Charlotte. Because that was pitiful. That guy was unrecognizable. I don't know who he was, and yeah. Go ahead, bro.
I mean, truthfully, he shouldn't take his ass to Charlotte, no way. I mean, I get it. You wanted to shoot Space Jam 2. I understand Savannah and the kids is out here, bro. But at least give us, don't just, you're just... It's crazy that somebody so fucking good can get a triple double tonight and look like shit.
Yes,
he got a triple double tonight, and that's very hard to do. Yes. And he affected the game. But
He had like 14 assists with like 9 minutes left in the fourth, which is insane. But it was still an awful game.
I know my GM Rich Paul wants another coach. And he's going to get it. And it's probably going to happen overall. Even though Pelinka just back looped 2 days ago, which I cannot understand how you can back coach who's confused about which lineup he's going to play every week. I'm pretty sure assistant GM Rob Pelinka is going to get with Rich Paul over the break, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have a coaching change. Unfortunately, it's looking like it's going to be Jason Kidd, and
I don't know why. Why would you put Jason
Kidd? You want to talk about going from mediocre to bad? That's I don't know why. Like you just talked about great players in decision making. Jason Kidd was awful as the Bucks head coach, literally awful. Nobody cared because it was Milwaukee, and Giannis was still young. What happened?
Okay.
Why
was Giannis hurt when he was gone?
Well, because Giannis, apparently, again, this is what was told. Jason Kidd told Giannis to shoot threes. And Coach Bud has empowered Giannis. Like, yeah, if you're open, shoot him. But I want you to play B point forward. I want you to be, our Magic, our Bron, our, Oscar. As you can see, with what the Bucks have on their roster, they play like 9 times out of 10 on the court. They legitimately have 40% shooters on besides Eric Bledsoe. Everybody else shoots over 40% on the court besides Giannis. You can't. He gets guarded 1-on-1, and then he just picks the spots. Like that Bucks team is really unguardable. And yes, I think the paint. I mean, now I'm just switching subjects, but I just think Jason Kidd. Isn't going to help. That's not the answer to help the Lakers. Like, and that's why tell people, fire the coach. Yeah, let's fire the coach. But first, I hate in-season coaching changes. I think they're dumb, especially when you're a team that on the verge of being a playoff team. If you don't have the replacement already in mind, or somebody that's qualified, or somebody better, I just think you just ride it out to the end of the season. I think it just makes more sense that way.
I mean, I don't understand how Luke got away with hiring all of his college buddies to come coach the Lakers any goddamn ways, but I think it is time for a change. And even if they go B-Shaw or Mad Dog for the rest of the year, even though B-Shaw not going to do shit besides smile, I just would rather see it.
Kev's right about this. You ride it out, let him finish the season. This team's not going to get any better or worse off of you firing Luke or not. They're not. It's not going to rejuvenate the team. It's not going to bring them to this sudden realization that they need to play better. You ride it out. I'm not sitting there saying Luke's doing a great job, but at this very moment, there's nobody to really replace him. You replace him with a guy that's sitting there on the bench and that is a part of the coaching staff that he's sitting there helps make those decisions. So what's the point of firing Luke? Luke will just be fired and you'll still have the same team playing the same players. Once again, this was the problem with the Lakers at the beginning of the season. What did they do when they sat there and signed players? They signed a bunch of players that do the exact same thing on the court. The only good signings were because the Lakers needed a center so bad. So McGee was a good signing, but even he has fallen off. Chandler, he can't play as much minutes as he used to, so he's it's a good signing for the moment, but a lot of these guys are good signings for a playoff team.
Chandler's a statue, by the way. Keep going.
Exactly.
He's just a beard out there at this point.
a lot of these guys are statue, signings. Bro. They're signings for when you're making a deep playoff run, and they can play in that slow, grinded out type of game and make big plays and everything. But they can't do that for 82 games, and that's what it's requiring for this Laker team just to stay afloat, for them to do that for 82 games. And that's not these guys. And then you went and made a trade, and you went and got Reggie Bullock, another player. That does the same exact thing as everybody else.
I would say Reggie Bullock's actually Reggie Bullock's a good, if you're going to play LeBron ball piece, like, which tells me if the Lakers make the playoffs.
Oh, he's good catchers.
Yeah. I'm going to say he's a good catch and shoot. Like, if you're going to play LeBron ball in the playoffs, which if the Lakers make the playoffs, I expect the Lakers to do. I see Reggie Bullock playing minutes over a lot of the young Lakers, like, you know, Josh Hart, who's hurt, and maybe even getting some minutes over B.I.
Hey, Jesse, I ask you a question. Did you see the odds on who were the favorites to be the next coach?
There's odds for the next to be the next coach.
Yeah, you can bet on this. The favorite is Jason Kidd, but there's also Mikal Thibodeau, Phil Jackson, and LeVar Ball.
This is why you shouldn't gamble, kids.
Yeah, I saw Bleacher Report. I got an alert about that. But I mean, look, I don't think any of those guys are good choices. I don't know how you're gonna bring in Phil Jackson.
Mark Jackson's not a good choice. Like, none of that.
You guys want to hear the three guys I think that should be considered? If I'm being honest, I don't like any of those guys. But if I was being honest, and the Lakers need a legit coach, I think there's three. I would look at Juwan Howard from Miami because he's a Spo guy. He knows Braun. We have to cater to the king.
That's not
bad. Another dude I like Jerry Stackhouse. He was in Toronto last year. He's in Memphis this year. I also like Van Exel.
He's not coaching a G League. Philly, I thought he was coaching a G League team right now.
No, I think he's on Bickerstaff, JB Bickerstaff staff in Memphis.
Okay.
And the last one who was I going to say that I really like? Oh, Rex Kalamian. He and Nick Nurse were responsible for Toronto's turnaround last year. Now he's with the Clippers.
So I've never heard of this guy. Like I said, do you think he's gonna have the clout to coach LeBron James? The other two, you pointed out is not bad. Like I said, like Jerry Stackhouse, he's been trying to push his way in the NBA. I think he's one of the next ones up. Juwan Howard is actually one I've even thought of. His time should be coming. He should get his call soon. Do you think Rex Kalamia has the clout to coach LeBron?
No, but I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. Because if you get one of these young coaches like a Stackhouse or Juwan Howard,
but Bron would respect those players though. Those are veteran. You respect those players.
Yeah, I think it's more so about the assistants other than the player, because Bron's offense isn't going to change no matter who the coach is. So it's just about who wants to motivate him. I think
out of all those three, I'm going with Jerry Stackhouse. Number one, because Jerry Stackhouse, it's not about coaching LeBron. Like you guys said, LeBron's going to do his game no matter what. It's about getting those younger guys around him. Because right now, at this very moment, I honestly believe, as much as you believe it was Magic's fault and he showed his hands, yeah, he showed his hands, but he showed his hands in a moment where there was only one team that they were going up against in that trade, and the Pelicans already weren't going to make it to the Lakers. Like I said before, when we were talking about it, they're not going to give it to them because nobody wanted them to do it. And at this very moment, this is what it's going to be. Nobody's going to cater to LeBron. This is the problem that we're going to face. LeBron decided to go to LA, and everybody already saw the writing on the wall where they're going to try to make trades and try to get these get a big name in. They played their hand in the sense of that AD did it too early. But LeBron getting older, they try to force it now.
So nobody's talked about this, though. So not to cut you off, Jesse, but I think this is a good topic to kind of talk about this since, you know, the trade deadline's done and we haven't recorded one since AD has stayed put in New Orleans. Why didn't people in the media gave Jimmy Butler a lot of crap for what he did, right? He kind of got his hands dirty about pushing his way out in Minnesota. He did it in a way that was entertaining for me, obviously, with everything that happened in the world famous practice situation. Why hasn't, if Anthony Davis really wanted to, he could have got his hands dirty and just demanded and, you know, just made the situation way more miserable for the Pelicans. And I know I know one of the reasons why is because he has a lot of respect for the organization because they drafted him, and he actually genuinely loves New Orleans as a city and as a town that, you know, now I won't say raised him, but that, you know, he's respected because he's played for them. But if he really wanted to push his hands, like I feel like he put his foot in the water and like got a little bit in the water and then took his foot out. Because, like, you don't hire Rich Paul to be your agent if you don't want to kind of get your hands dirty, but you kind of want to make power play. Like, and the spin on it, which what everybody was talking about, that he hired Rich Paul because he felt like he should have more advertisements on during NBA games, which I thought was BS anyway. Obviously, we all knew once he got hired Rich Paul that, you know, he wanted to make a move to a bigger market. Obviously, LA was the target. But I feel like Anthony Davis, I know he's not that kind of type of person, but if he would have pulled a Jimmy Butler kind of situation, I feel like he could have pushed his way or at least made the situation way more untenable for the Pelicans to where he wouldn't be on the roster anymore.
Well, I mean, Jimmy Butler really didn't want to be there, and I think the Minnesota Timberwolves
he made them trade him because he made the situation awkward.
Well, and I don't think AD has that. Just simply doesn't have that personality.
That's what I'm saying.
Now I do think it's going to get messy this summer, and I think because I don't think AD is going to. I think AD will come out this summer and say, "I'm not going to Boston," and I don't think Kyrie's going to re-sign in Boston. So I think the Pelicans are going.
You just said you. So you don't think Kyrie's going to New York, and you don't think he's re-signing in Boston. So what are you trying to say?
Yeah, I think he's going to sign with the Lakers and join up.
All right, keep going though. Let's hear it. Keep going though.
I mean, can I go also? Can I also go out on a limb and say in my near future, I think we go back to the Pelicans and say, this is what you're going to take, because now you can't trade Tatum. Now you have nothing because Kyrie's now a Laker, and we try to get Coach K for a 3-year run.
Bro, you are incredible. Every time I try to give you the benefit of doubt on your basketball knowledge, you just surprise me with your homerism.
All right, back to reality. he said Coach K.
Yeah, he's in.
For a 3-year run, why wouldn't Coach K come out for a 3-year run?
Real, there's some.
Why would he?
Jesse, there's some dark places in Laker Twitter if you keep going down the rabbit hole, and I think Real's found it.
Why would he?
Because
do that?
he already took the Laker job once, and then reneged on it to Coach Vino, we end up with fucking Rudy Tomjanovich. Real. And he said he's had hopes to coach in the NBA at least at one time in his life.
Bro, can I get you on record? So you believe that Kyrie's coming to Lakers. That's one, right? Fact one. You believe Kyrie's coming to Lakers in next year, right?
Yes.
2019-2020 NBA season.
Yes.
You also believe Coach K is going to coach the Lakers.
Yes.
So you believe Anthony Davis is going to come in that same year. They're going to the Pelicans are actually going to trade the young players on the Lakers to get Anthony Davis in the same season. So you're going to start the next season, 19-20, with Kyrie Irving, Coach K as your coach, and Anthony Davis. Is that what you're saying?
Why is it that when Brian Windhorst says it, it's crazy, but when I say it, it isn't? Brian Windhorst said everything but the Coach K thing.
No, he said he wouldn't think it's crazy. I think it's crazy.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. The only way the Lakers are going to get AD is if they can get a third team in there. I really honestly believe, as much as the Lakers also showed their hand in everything, I believe LeVar did what he can to kill that trade too. So it is what it is. I think they need to figure out how to get Phoenix in that trade and get a way to get Phoenix to give up a pick to the Pelicans so they can get Zoe, because they actually do need a Zoe. They need a point guard, and it wouldn't be a bad pickup for that team. But and then
Jesse, quick question. quick question for you, Jesse. What do you think Magic did to keep that yellow tooth bastard quiet for all his points?
Oh man,
I think Zoe told him to be quiet, and then this trade started happening. Zoe told him, "Go ahead and say something." That's all I can believe.
That, yeah, I could believe that. I would just wonder what I thought. Maybe Magic had invested in the big baller brand.
I did think it was really interesting the day after. I think he which publication? I want to give him their credit. What publication gave him? He had some comments with. I want to say
The Athletic.
Was it The Athletic? I don't think it was The Athletic. I'm sorry, I'm spacing on the publication. I apologize, but so he made some comments that went viral, and then the next day he went on Skip Show, like this was planned, like something happened, like literally it really felt like a band was off.
Yeah, I honestly think that it,
like, because literally it was. The publication had some statements, and it went all over, you know, and it got, what's the word I'm looking for? It got aggregated, and then he went up, like, the next morning I saw he, I didn't watch or listen, obviously, but I saw the quotes, the stupid quotes he said, like, Lonzo is better than LeBron, that he went on Skip's and Shannon's show. It really felt like a ban was lifted, or like a 30-day something was off, right? Like, it was weird.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he got word that...
Like, was man, a, my man just got off parole or something. It was crazy.
I'm pretty sure he heard there was a chance that there was a chance a trade might come, and I'm pretty sure he tried to get in front of it, which is crazy. But also, I want to ask another question to you guys. What is this bad? I mean, because honestly, like... I watched them, not to take this off course. A guy posted the ratings for the AFL, and they were higher than the Rockets Thunder game. And they, if you don't know what the AFL is, it's the new Alliance Football Association. Is this NBA drama their version of making their regular season relevant? Is it good for the sport? And is it going to get worse?
I would say this too, and I thought about this, and they kind of talked about this on Bill Simmons. On the Count the Dings Network pod, they were talking about that for some reason, people, and I feel like this too, people aren't watching games anymore. Like, people care about what's happening on Twitter. Like, the whole free agency thing is more engaging and more fun and more funny for Twitter than actually sitting and watching, you know, the Mavericks play the Rockets, or in your case, the Rockets play the Thunder. Like, people don't sit and watch games anymore, and it sucks because me, as you know, I think the word basketball purist is used too loosely in sports and like in stuff like that. But I'll generally sit and watch basketball games with my laptop open and watch stats as they accumulate while I'm watching the game, because I like learning. And I like seeing what teams do, but people will literally just sit on Twitter and, you know, catch the highlights and just crack on the jokes. And like I said, it's fun for Twitter, but people don't generally watch the games anymore.
And also, I think too, with this era, the ESPN, I call these guys, especially the ones that I work with who think they know sports, I call them the ESPN alert guys, because that's the only way they really follow it is, you know, off the latest alert. So, and I think now in basketball with moves, and I think that's, unless you're following, like, most of the people have alerts on, like, I had dudes asking me about trade rumors who were saying we should just give up Hart and Kuzma. I just got the alert. So, you know, I think the people who are now plugged in are plugged into the mood because it's sexy, you know, because it's I like transitions, you know, transactions in basketball. I like seeing the movement, the player movement. But sometimes this whole convolution shit, and the fact that Rich Paul is by far maybe the most powerful man in basketball. It's just crazy to me. It's honestly crazy, man. Me personally, like, I'm a hoop head, so I lock in on, like, I'll have a week where I'm like, you know what, I'm going to kill $3 games this week. Because I'm kidding. Honestly, Giannis is my favorite player in the NBA now. Like, I've watched him. Like, he's now surpassed LeBron, and is now my favorite player in the NBA. Because I can lock in on I want to see Kemba. But a lot of people, they rather just see the highlights or they see the gifts. I think the 30-second clip.
Giannis is your favorite player in the NBA, or he's your favorite player to watch right now?
He's my favorite player in the NBA.
I would say that's two different questions. Okay.
He's my favorite player in the NBA. I like watching him, and if I had to, like, I don't buy many jerseys.
The Bucks are fun to watch, man. When the Bucks are playing in a halfway decent team, when they're not, because one, they're smacking everybody. But if the Bucks aren't playing, I always make fun of the Magic, the Phoenix Suns or the Magic, I'm normally too.
Hey, no Giannis on Saturday, the fucking Magic beat them. So don't make fun of the Magic.
And don't get me started on the Magic. But, yeah, I get that. Like, I'm not even mad at that. Giannis is fun to watch.
I don't like watching James Harden play basketball. I mean, not to change something.
I'm kind of with you there, but I had, like, if you didn't poke your head in and see what he was doing, the clinic he was putting on, then you don't like basketball. I'm sorry. Like, you just can't. Like there's no way to me, like, score. It's scoring at its highest peak to me. Like, it's, again, I know it's a lot of free throws and it's a lot of the bullshit gesturing, but he still gives you those oh shit moves where he just completely blew by two people, or he manipulates the fucking defense by just turning his neck and making one pass to PJ Tucker.
He's still a great player. That's what sucks because it's not like he's a player that sucks. You know what these people are,
Jesse, in real? The people that said this year's Super Bowl sucked. Because, you know, there was no offense. Those people I hate. Like, those people just go to, like, you watch one game a year, bro. Like, no one cares about your opinion that this Super Bowl sucked. You watch one game. This is the only game you pop your head in and watch.
It's tough to watch him at times because it's like, I think it's just tough to watch him when it's in critical moments because he just knows how to just manipulate the game and get a foul or whatever. And it's just like some of it is bullshit. And some of it is just like he knows the game better than, or he knows how to draw the foul or whatever. But he still just it doesn't take him away from his ability, his skill, his crossover. He's deceptively quick. He has great vision on the court. Like, it's not like he's not a great player still. He does get to the free throw line a lot and slow down the game. And honestly, that's not Mike D'Antoni's offense, what he runs. That's not a Mike D'Antoni offense. That's literally like, hey, this is the best way we know how to use James Harden, so we're going to put his usage that high. But that's not how D'Antoni really likes his offense run. He likes it flowing. He likes it, the ball moving. So it's one of those things where he's adjusted to what James Harden does, and James Harden is taking full advantage of that. But to say his game, it's just tough to watch at times. But I guess it's probably more tough when you see your favorite team going up against him and you see him get those fouls and all that stuff. But
my thing with James Harden too is that, like, yeah, the refs help him sometimes because they are kind of already expecting something. But he's so good to where if he never flopped again, I believe he'd still average everything he's averaging. If he never like flopped, like, I know half his game is a little Manu Ginobili European style because he goes to the basket kind of flailing his arms. But if you could take away some of, like, the flops, if he had no flops at all, he would still bust your ass because he's gonna step back jumping.
I'm about to say, okay, so that part I agree with. I'm about to say exactly. I don't think he would average 40 for a month because he needs the free throws to get there.
But he's still busting.
If he didn't flop, he would still bust anybody's ass.
Exactly. I think he'd average damn near 40 because I think his step back is about as unguardable as the sky hook.
I'm gonna say it is in the regular season. We haven't seen it that potent in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, well, just to circle back to what you were saying with the AFL having better ratings than what was going on, or the game that was on for the Saturday night game for the NBA. I just personally think at this moment, it's first of all, most people still have football fatigue. I think people were just kind of seeing what this league would be about and what it looked like. And so, you know, and you got it on a major channel, so it was watchable. And people tuned into it, but I don't think it's going to last long. I also think at this very moment, people got probably a little basketball fatigue. And it's still the first half of the season for a lot of people that don't watch NBA like religiously like we do. We watch the
game. I also feel like people they know the inevitable is coming.
I think so.
At least they feel like the inevitable is coming, which is
another
banner in the North, California.
Can I pose a question? Why do we not get rid of the draft lottery so bad teams can get good players?
I mean, that question would have a whole – we would have to start a whole new pod to talk about that.
I'm just saying for the sake of – because I feel like that's the only way the NBA can balance itself out.
The Knicks have lost 17 straight games. They would go out there and try to lose 82 straight games if they wanted, if they could try.
Even with the lottery reform, and they're not even like, yeah, where the top four teams now have the highest odds. Like, it doesn't matter. They're doing whatever it takes to get in the top four.
I just don't believe changing that lottery and evening it out would do anything for a lot of people because look how you guys brought up the Bucks. Look how good they are and how fun they are to watch. People still ain't watching them. A lot of people still
Bucks games, man.
A lot of people know the name Giannis by Giannis by just him being Giannis and being talked about and. You know, that's really what they know about Giannis. They don't really watch those games.
People didn't know that Giannis was the team captain for the East, technically. They were, like, expecting for it to be Steph again. Steph and LeBron to be captains. People were, like, surprised that it was Giannis.
So, you know, a lot of that stuff, you look at that, it's like, evening it out, sending a guy, having a guy in Memphis or wherever, where's another place? I guess Toronto. They look how good they are. They still don't get watched like that. They a lot of these teams, a lot of these players, a lot of these places.
The league is run by 12 players, bro.
Exactly. It don't really matter because
the league is run by 12 players. They move the needle, and everybody else you know, comes along for the ride.
Exactly. So I don't think it really – like, come on. No, let's be honest. Joel Embiid is balling out. He's an amazing basketball player. But a lot of people know Joel Embiid more about his antics and want to see what Joel Embiid's going to say and going head-to-head with certain people and doing certain things like that. It is a lot of the drama that draws people to the NBA.
That's what we were saying. Like, people enjoy the talking on Twitter more than like Real was talking about. Like, people enjoy the transactions or the possibility of transaction. Like, it's because it's way more fun to say, "Oh my God, if the Lakers get AD, oh my God, if KD and Kyrie go to the Knicks, oh my God, can you imagine that? What if they trade it?" Like, for some people, that part is way more interesting than, again, sitting and watching the Bucks versus the Raptors, which would be an insane game, or watching,
you know. I think it's more important. Also, I just think it being 82 games. It being 82 games.
That too. That's why, I mean, it's All-Star break, so obviously people will feel a lot better afterwards.
That has a big deal to do with it. I think that's why it's so tough to compare basketball and football, because 82 games is like, especially with being able to have a chance to watch the Bucks and the Raptors at the beginning of the season. All right, well, it's not that important of a game at the beginning of the season. So, you know, but in the second half of the season, towards the end, you see them playing for playoff position and who wants to be in the first, second, or third slot. Then, yeah, I'm watching that game. And that's how people are going to think of it. I'm gonna be more in tune with that game. But it's going to be an interesting down the stretch for both sides. I think it's finally evened itself out. A lot of people would say because LeBron's no longer in the East, but I think it's finally evened itself out, as in both sides are watchable. Both the Eastern Conference and Western Conference was watchable. It's just people are just going to tune in more in the second half of the season, especially when there's not a lot of things to really sit down and watch at the end of the day.
That's true.
And if all these moves had happened and Bron was still on the Cavs, Bron would be a 6 or 7 seed right now, with the way these teams are playing. You know, the way Giannis Embiid is having possibly one of the best big man seasons I've seen in a long time, and even the Celtics. I mean, if LeBron had stayed with the Cavs, I don't think
that's true. I mean, the arms race in the East, obviously at the trade deadline, was crazy. So we're going to circle back to a conversation we was having, and for some reason they did not record. So I'm going to ask the question again. Do you guys believe Paul George is lifting himself into the MVP conversation?
I say not yet, because I need to see how he finishes the season. It looks good right now, and he's playing some really good basketball, but it is, I don't know, like I've seen really good moments from Paul George this year. Like what he did, I watched that game versus him, and on what he did on the job on James Harden, he did on Saturday. He didn't shut him down completely, but when the times he was switched on to him, I think Harden would like 1 for 6 or 1 for 5. So he's almost there, but Harden's averaging damn near 30. What is he averaging, 35, 36? And I'm pretty sure Harden's trying to get that, so that's going to knock him down one. And then the season Giannis is having is going to knock him down another. And then I don't know if I can put him ahead of Kawhi, so that's another.
To be fair, though, aren't the Rockets like a 6 seed? And I know what people are going to say, Russell won the MVP, was a 6 seed. That was obviously the most extreme circumstances. Do you think that the voters again will give it to Harden if his team does not vault into like the top three?
No, I think it goes to Giannis.
I think it goes to Giannis.
First and foremost, I know this is like one of those things where it's like it doesn't mean anything for this year, but they've been wanting to give Giannis MVP for like 2 years.
They have. So. Remember Kobe campaign for he was giving everybody task.
Yeah,
he gave Giannis the MVP. What did he give? He gave IT a task. He gave DeMar DeRozan a task. He gave a couple people tasks.
He gave them all tasks. He gave a lot of people tasks. But at this moment, you know, Giannis not to take away from what he's doing, he's to me is the MVP. I just like I as well as Paul George is playing, I think he's playing great. I think he's playing way out of his mind. He's definitely stepped up from what he just the last couple of years to come back from that injury. It seems like he's put his game into he's in his prime. I just think when you have an all-star that's averaging a triple-double, and it's a down year for him. I think that has to be taken into account because, you know, Giannis doesn't have that, and Harden doesn't have that. So when you're saying MVP, the only thing that, to me, puts him on the same level as those two is just his defense. His defense is
incredible. I'm taking that into account.
And it's very much taken into account. I'm just saying his offensive output, I think it's very much helped with Westbrook still averaging a triple-double.
I'm only saying this because, you know, Denver's gotten a lot of pub. I mean, not a lot, but pub for – you know, being right on par with the Warriors right now as far as like being two games back in the win column. But Oklahoma City is right there. They only have 19 losses.
Yeah, they're playing really well. I think they're three playing games back great.
The one seed. Yeah.
All right, I'll ask you this. Obviously, I think their defense is going to be the biggest factor in the playoffs. But if you sit there and you say, you know what, we're going to make a concerted effort to stop Paul George, and obviously that's going to take a top three team. It's going to take the Nuggets. It's going to take – well, the Nuggets don't play defense. But, like, the Warriors doing that on defense. Will Westbrook be able to do enough to take them over the top? Can Westbrook win them games?
Westbrook's a wild card, especially in playoffs.
So is Paul George.
Paul George balls out in the playoffs, though, Jesse. As far as
any playoffs.
Let me start. I'm going to say, so he had a bad playoff last season in the Western Conference. Before. He balled out in the Eastern Conference. Every year he's played in the Eastern Conference, he's balled out.
All right.
Eastern Conference, Paul George is a beast.
I'm talking about with him being the guy. You're talking about when there was that team that went up against...
No, when he was the guy.
The Heat? Team that went up against the Heat, yeah, he wasn't the guy, though.
I know. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the years he ran into LeBron, you know, Cavs Bron, or like, you know, when he ran into these other teams. Paul George is always balled out in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. I'm gonna keep saying that. There's this misconception. Like it's kind of like the misconception with Tracy McGrady because he's never got out of the first round. That T Mac's never bought in the first and bought in the first.
Oh round. No, there's T Mac has definitely
T-Mac bought. T Mac destroys in the first round.
What about when Joe Ingles is guarding Paul George?
Like I said, last year was an exception. He got folded up by Joe Ingles. I'm not denying that, but I think this year is different because. Of their young core, and like you can laugh about what Dennis Schroeder's done, but I think playing Dennis Schroeder over Raymond Felton, who last year Raymond Felton was good, but Dennis Schroeder is such an upgrade over him because you can play him a lot more minutes, and then they like to play Russell and Schroeder together. But
like when they do.
Terrence Ferguson, man, and obviously he's not gonna get like the unsung heroes, the Terrence Fergusons of the world, the Cheick Diallos, and. Who I think is like again, I always tell you guys this. If I was to start a franchise, if we used to have a lottery of player, everybody in the league is free agent. And I get to start my team, and I have to start with a big man. I'm taking Steven Adams first out of every big man in the NBA. But that's just me. I think Steven Adams has been balling, and again, another player that's been balling out that just been you know quietly. And same thing with Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's been balling and shooting well. This team is really good. As good as they are, I'm not sure if they can beat the Warriors, but I do think they can make it hard for them because I don't know if you guys recently looked at the Warriors' numbers recently with the starting five. Have you guys checked those out? Their plus minuses?
Yeah, I've seen it.
They're minus like 4.3 with the starting five, and that's with Boogie on the court. And it's because they're the worst rebounding team in the league when Boogie's on the court.
Yeah, they rebound.
It's a small sample size, obviously, but they're the worst team in the league with five All Stars. And then the worst rebounding team as far as the rebounds in the game. With that starting five, it's insane.
Not a surprise.
Really? Like,
it's really everybody not on a surprise.
That. Okay, so tell me why that's not a surprise, because I would like to hear this. Everybody,
show me the good rebounder.
Stephen Curry's a good rebounder. Kevin Durant's a good rebounder.
For a guard, but yes, they're all average.
Boogie Cousins a good rebounder. Draymond Green is a good rebounder. Like, that's trash. Okay, so I just named you everybody. It's like everybody except Clay on that starting five is a good rebounder. But there's still no excuse for them to be dead last, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, that's just effort.
Okay. I got another theory, but you guys can go ahead.
I'm with Jarrell. It's effort. I also think, you know, it's still one of those things where The person that usually goes to get those rebounds and everything, his role is slowly getting phased out, and that's Draymond Green. And I think Draymond Green going down there and get those rebounds with Boogie still down there and KD down there.
No, well, I think teams are figuring them out, not figuring them out, but teams are doing what they normally do to the Nuggets, to the Warriors, which is they do a high pick and roll with Boogie and they get Boogie on top of the key. And for whatever reason, everybody else in the Warriors are like, oh, Boogie will get it. And Boogie's like already at Boogie's at the top of the arc.
And that's effort. But that's effort. That's like Jerrell said. That's an effort. That's, oh, he'll get it. That, and I think what I think is happening. That's why I'm like, it's not a surprise.
Yeah, but Boogie's already pulled at the top of the key.
Yeah. But they've been like that since, you know, they've honestly been like that for a long time. When you really watch them for rebounding, that defensive rebounding, if it's when they have Bogut, they expect the Bogut to get the ball, to outlet it, and they go. They expected Draymond to get the ball, outlet it, and go. Last year, the same thing the years before.
Not in the finals. Really, Stephen Curry turned into freaking Dennis Rodman in the finals.
And it's effort. That's all about effort. Can you tell me that KD can easily get 10 rebounds all by himself in the first quarter if he wanted to?
Easily.
It's one of those things where it's effort, and the offense is waiting for somebody else to get it. Those guys go out and run.
And also, I really do factor in, they don't have a guy whose job is simple-sided. Everybody has a multi-purpose on there. Even though they play so well together, they don't have the McGee or the Bogut. Everybody has multi-things they want to do.
They're trying to get Rolo in the buyout.
That'd be scary. Man, fuck Warriors.
Yeah, but I don't know if the Bulls are going to actually buy him out. They should. But if they get real low. I mean, it's already over, but, like, I don't know. Honestly, so people are saying they're over, and obviously in our beginning, our NBA pod to start the year, I said I'm taking the field this year over the Warriors. I honestly think the Bucks can give them a run for their money. I just think that Giannis would have to ball out, obviously. But I think the paint will be so cramped. I don't – like, they wouldn't even check. Like, Eric Bledsoe, they would guard like he was Ben Simmons.
I think it would just be another one of those watching LeBron, how LeBron scored all those points. And Giannis would be doing the same exact thing.
But Giannis's bag isn't as – deep as prime LeBron. Like,
no, I'm just saying Giannis having a big game and everybody else around him is struggling to score. I just feel like that's what will happen in the playoffs.
I can definitely see Chris Middleton struggling in the playoffs.
Will it give him a couple of wins against the Warriors? Yeah, of course. I actually don't think it's going to be that easy for the Warriors to get out as much as I think they are going to get out. I just don't think it's going to be that easy as people believe it will be. I don't think this team is as cohesive as they want to be yet. I think they have up and down spurts. They're just so good that it's just one run that is all they need, and they know all they need is one run in a game in the third or fourth quarter, and the game's over. And they know that's all they need, and that's how they play. That's how they play patient. They play they don't get too high, they don't get too low. When they don't get that run, that's when you need notice. That's when they start getting a little more tense, a little more panicky. But I don't think it's going to be that easy for them to get out. I think the OKC does have the defense to sit there and give them a hard time and with scoring and giving that back and forth. I just don't know if OKC, when it comes down to it, can make enough key plays throughout the game or throughout the series to beat them. I do think I think the Rockets are just not going to have a chance against them.
I thought OKC should have went and got Miritich.
Yeah,
it would have been interesting. Yeah, I think.
Okay, so before we kind of get out of here, I want to be, you know, since this week is All-Star Week, any of these events that you guys are looking forward to? obviously All-Star game, they added two legend players. So they added Dwayne Wade and my man Dirk. Dunk contest has Miles Bridges and John Collins, Diallo and Dennis Smith Jr. 3-point contest has, I'm just going to say the big names, Damian Lillard, both of the Curry brothers, Dirk Nowitzki. There's somebody else named that I'm forgetting, another big name I'm forgetting.
Buddy? Buddy?
I'm forgetting a big name.
Buddy Hill.
I'm forgetting a big name. But I think the winner's going to come out of those. So, first of all, does anybody want to explain to me why Kyle Kuzma is in the skills competition?
He is.
I don't think any Lakers should be at All-Star Weekend.
Does anybody want to tell me why Kyle Kuzma's in the skill competition?
He is.
Why is this a thing?
You just shocked me. Did you say Devin Booker?
I think Kemba? Devin Booker and Kemba. There you go.
Wait, Devin Booker is a bigger name than Buddy Hield?
We're not doing this.
Fuck Buddy. Most improved player
One has a max contract. One has a max contract and is a part of Team Kobe and is the league leader on his team. And the other name it's is Buddy. And the other one name is Buddy.
I'm surprised D'Angelo Russell's not in.
Disrespect Buddy Hield again. I swear. Are you kidding me? Buddy's not getting buckets this year. Have you watched the Kings?
Real, I'm saying, I just said big names. I wasn't taking a shot. I wasn't calling Buddy sorry. I just said I'm just going to name the big names in the 3-point competition. And obviously, Kemba Walker, the fact that you argued that Devin Booker's name isn't bigger than Buddy's just says a lot about you. Anyway, any of these intrigue you guys?
I just want to say, Jarrell, you are being disrespectful to Devin Booker. But
I'm not even a Devin Booker guy.
I'm not really a Devin Booker guy either. But to say that Buddy Hield is that Devin Booker's not a bigger name than Buddy Hield?
Yeah, you're insane.
Buddy Hield is not my new bad team favorite player. He's my new secret lover. I go see him on the weekends.
Okay, this is a you thing.
What has Devin Booker done in the league? Nothing.
What is Buddy Hield?
Yeah, we're not doing this. They're a 9 seed about to make the playoffs because the Lakers are shit. What are you talking about?
Oh, so I got a question for you guys.
They're a 9 seed? They're going to be in the playoff race? Like, right. That doesn't mean anything. Honestly, if you're going to talk about watching Sacramento, it's De'Aaron Fox who you talk about. I know Buddy
Hield. I'd rather
watch De'Aaron Fox.
So, we didn't record last week, obviously, but we were talking about how, I guess me and Jesse Ken were talking about how, I know hindsight is 20/20, but damn, the Lakers, like, damn, if the Lakers wouldn't have, you know, got rid of D'Angelo Russell, the Lakers probably would be a little better off because D'Angelo Russell, which I predicted, and it's on the tapes that I said, I told Rel this, that D'Angelo Russell would be an All-Star. Rel, did I not say that?
I don't remember.
Okay, I'm sure you don't remember. You don't remember shit when I'm right. Anyway, what would have happened?
Oh, wait, I know why Kyle Kuzma's in it. It's because they do that big man versus the guards thing. Because I just saw Vucevic in there, and that all makes sense now.
Vucevic has actually skipped. Okay, whatever.
I'm not saying he's not. Okay. I'm not saying Kyle Kuzma is not as skilled as
Vucevic. Imagine how better off the Lakers would be if they would have drafted De'Aaron Fox instead of, again, hindsight, then Lonzo Ball. Hindsight 2020 right now, obviously.
Nobody saw this. Their stock was equal coming out. Nobody saw this. It'd be different if De'Aaron Fox was wildly better than Lonzo Ball in college. Lonzo Ball, you know, he had a pretty decent career, but De'Aaron Fox didn't look the best at times in Kentucky. Malik Monk was the one I wanted out of that backcourt.
De'Aaron Fox came out of college with the speed and the athleticism that you wanted in a guard, though. And so, I mean, Lonzo's no slouch either. He's explosive as hell. He's fast as shit too. But I know it's just something to think about. You know, I'm not saying either. You know, the jury's still out. But you know, one one kind of, you know, in his early career, kind of stays getting injured, and then you got the baggage with his dad and his jump shot, and the other looks like he's a nice cornerstone for a really good franchise. That's all I'm saying.
I will also argue that De'Aaron Fox's position is clear. Yes. I honestly think sometimes Lonzo does not know what he's doing on the court.
Yes, I would,
and that's not that he doesn't know what he's doing as in basketball. I don't think it's clear of his position. I think it's he is more of a unselfish player than a lot of people would like him to be, and I think he is taking it to. It's an ease for him to go to the corner and let somebody else have the ball in their hands versus De'Aaron Fox, who wants the ball in his hands, who wants to be the guy that makes the play, who wants to be the guy that is the reason why the play is made. I think Lonzo is just about getting that ball in the basket, and that's it. And I don't think he's a team player.
Last thing I want is a point guard who don't want the ball in his hands.
I'm not saying that he doesn't. He's more of a team guy in the sense that he's just going to do what he's told. And if it's, hey, go to the this all has to do with how the offense is. That's why the Lakers offense is just a mess. You brought in Lonzo to be a playmaker, but yet, you know, some of his skill set dribbling-wise and everything.
Not a lot of sauce in that bag.
Also, the offense doesn't really move. It's just not geared towards what really is skillful for him. His skills is getting out and running. That's what you saw him do at UCLA. It wasn't really one of those.
That bag is damn near full.
Yeah, it wasn't really. You saw him running the half court offense. It was him getting up and running and pushing that ball. Exactly. And that's where his vision, everything, his skill, his ability to pass, all comes to light. But I will say this. Zoe's been playing very well before he got injured. I will also say this. Zoe didn't practice anything during the offseason because he was injured the entire time.
Yeah.
While De'Aaron Fox had all offseason to really work on his game. So,
that's true.
And I will also say Zoe just needs to stop going home. He just needs to
work out with real professionals. He needs to just, you know, work out with real NBA professionals and, you know, some of his trainers and, you know, maybe hang out with, I wouldn't say Bron necessarily, but he needs to hang out with somebody whose game he can master. Not master, but he can take pieces of it. I mean, he has Magic Johnson right there. So, you know, maybe he can hang out with him. Magic can hang out with him instead of Ben Simmons. But I think that's it. We can get out of here now. I'm Kev. That's Jesse. That's Real. This is Those Millennials Podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe before we drop more material on you. We're gonna have more pop pods and more basketball pods coming your way. Thank you to all the OGs that's been rocking with us. And you guys had any parting shots?
Give us the cure, Magic.
Those Millennials be out.